This is Paul. I wasn't gonna make a video this afternoon, but boy, sometimes I just gotta. I'm going to Southern California tomorrow to do a meeting and yada yada yada. It's like, oh, I should get home, have a nice dinner, and all that happened. I noticed that my wife isn't home yet. She's probably got an after school meeting, so I'm gonna make a video because I just gotta. Well, a bunch of stuff going through my head this morning. I saw Grim Grizz's live stream about the Dune video. That was great. I sometimes look at this little corner. You know, when Jordan Peterson talks about, like, creating a large language model about the Bible or Jung or something so that he can sort of talk to Jung, I look at this little corner as my large language model. I really do, because I put something up for Homeroom and Grim Chews on it. I get great comments from you guys. Wow, such great comments on the Dune video. I mean, to me, you know, yeah, I hadn't read those books since I was, like, probably 19, 18, 17 years old, and so many of you have, and so I just feel very grateful for the comments that you left, just making me think about things I hadn't thought about. And I've been just watching this video a couple of times, the Friday Morning Fragments with Alan and Neil, and it's just so many thoughts on that in terms of what's sort of happening around us. And, you know, one of the things that Father Eric said is that, you know, this little corner dies the day PVK stops making videos, and I certainly hope not. Because Father Eric also did a meme where when I wasn't frequencing the Bridges of Meaning Discord server, it died, and it didn't die, and it's not the same. And the last thing I want, especially as a pastor of a church, that if I, the day I retire might be the day the church no longer continues. I don't know. It's unfair. People sometimes correct me because they say, you keep calling this a dying church, but you got like 7 people in your new members class. And it's like, okay, that's fair. But, and he keeps calling it a dying church, but you've got, you know, so much, obviously, so much really interesting new life going on around you in the online space. And, yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, dying, not dying, I don't know. It's just so hard to tell. And so one of the things I was just, again, this conversation between Alan and Neil was just really beautiful. And then one of you wrote me and said that somebody dropped the name of Peugeot and I in this Truth Unites video. And Gavin's really grown. You know, he's up to 55,000 subs, and this video has 43,000 views. And, you know, it's an excellent video in terms of Christian YouTube. You know, I can, you know, I certainly like Gavin better, but the formula for Christian YouTube is still sort of there. And it's a fine formula because basically Christian YouTube is here is my box. And depending on if you're Jordan B. Cooper and you have your Lutheran box, or you're Gavin Ortlund and you have your more Reformed Calvinist box, or if you got your Roman Catholic box, you got your Ortho box, you got your box. And so it's like here's something out in the world. I'm going to put my box on top of it. And I'm going to point out the things that are outside of my box. And I've done plenty of this too. Again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I'm going to make arguments why, you know, here in the box it's good and outside the box it's not as good. And inside the box it makes more sense and outside the box. And sometimes YouTube has sort of two boxes that are fighting against each other and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a role for this. There's a place for Christian YouTube. I get it. I just don't, and there are many people, Christian, this really helps people who are in that box, or it really helps people who are looking at that box and saying, is that box right for me? But there's a whole bunch of people who have looked at that box and, you know, and in some ways, you know, and again, this was a great video. I really enjoyed the video. And I thought his critiques were dead on. But he's dealing with the, you know, Rhett, and I did videos about these guys a while ago. And, you know, again, it's a great video. They're the Ear Biscuits dudes. And then, yeah, Grim Grizz is right. You know, Algo's feeding me stuff. And from, you know, the comments on the Jess of the Shire video, I know that Algo feeds me what you watch, and Algo feeds you what I watch. I mean, that's how Algo works. Algo is watching us, and it says, oh, these 10 people that watch PVK fairly regularly, they like this. Let's send that over to PVK. Now, again, that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's kind of a, if we had to hire someone to sort of watch what we watch and go between us, and I had a two-hour conversation this morning with Nathan Jacobs, and that was fun. That was fun, and it's in the No Wait No Ads, and I'm going to make some little clips for it. I'm going to release my Aaron Wren conversation soon. That's why I wasn't going to make a video, because like I'm just already going to release Aaron's video, and if I do a video like this, I usually give this priority over the recordings, because there'll be days that I just don't have time to make a video, and that's when I drop the recordings, and that's why I have No Wait No Ads, because I do a recording, and it's like, okay, when I don't have a video for a day, that's when I do the recording. And some of you are like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. It's like, okay, No Wait No Ads. Go listen to it. So Algo's working. And then it starts. And I love when Algo feeds me up a tiny little channel, because I love little channels. And so many of the boats in this flotilla are little channels, you know, 300 subs, 500 subs, 175 subs. And I look at those little channels like I look at little churches, and I say, gosh, that's God bless that person who is pouring their heart out and nobody is listening. And then I found this channel. Who knows how? Maybe he's watching. Maybe some of you are watching him. You know, Heliocentric Official, obviously, he's a musician, and he's been making videos for like 7 years. And lately, he's been, look at the graphics he's got going here. Lately, he's been doing church reviews. And I've seen this done. Back in the blogging world, people used to do this. They'd go to a church and they'd leave a review. And of course, now there's Yelp and all of these things to do. And I watched a couple of his videos. The guy clearly grew up Christian, and clearly he's a bit Christ-haunted. And then I saw this video from 3 years ago.
When I was 13, I heard the voice of God tell me to jump off of a 3-story building. When I was 14, I heard the voice of God tell me to go up to a woman in a wheelchair, grab her by the hand, and pull her up towards me, and tell her that she was healed. When I was 15, I had a friend whose dad passed away. And I heard the voice of God tell me to go to this man's funeral, interrupt the service, and lay my hands on his casket, and yell at his corpse to rise from the dead.
Now, this guy does really good videos. He does really good videos that nobody watches. Part of the problem with sort of the box approach that Christian YouTube does is what this guy just talked about here. What this guy just talked about here is very real. And it's way more common. This experience is way more common. And the dissonance that this experience basically brought up in him is way more common than people think. And of course, as a pastor, especially a pastor of a small church, where someone who they'll come up to you and, you know, again, the thing about a church is what happens in the culture of a church is people don't want to say anything to someone else that will have them lose status. So if you have a really small church that's kind of dying and kind of, you know, you just look around and it's like, yeah, you know, maybe it doesn't matter. So then maybe I'll sit down with this deacon or elder or Bible study leader or friend or pastor and say exactly what this guy said in this video. And of course, I would sit there and say, well, what did you do? Well, I didn't do it. Well, in most cases, I'll say, well, it's probably good. Do you think it was the voice of God? I don't know. Does God speak? Yeah. Do I always get that right? No. Again, I point to Andy Crouch's testimony in reverse. Just Google it. It's one of my favorite pieces that Andy Crouch ever wrote. And so he's doing these church reviews. Where's the church review? Oh, come on.
Still recording? Okay, now we're recording.
So he lives in North Carolina. And these church reviews are really lovely. They're generous, he's honest, and they're actually fairly helpful, because one of the hard things with church is actually to get good feedback. Because again, people don't want to say anything that they'll lose status around. But he goes to, it's so interesting because not too long ago, Molly Worthen sort of hit the video circuit talking about her conversion. That's a great story. And she was converted in the church that he went to. And this is just so typical. She was converted in the church that he went to. And, you know, all of his critiques are, yeah, it's corporate. It's overly polished. It's too good. It's too nice. And, but he's gentle. So they get 2 stars.
Different campuses. Is nobody else that competent that they can preach such good sermons? Is nobody else that educated that they don't have PhDs in theology? What is the reason why there has to be one guy who is over this entire flock? And it just feels like it's all because it's a corporation rather than a church. It's not concerned with, you know, building the kingdom of Christ, you know, whatever congregation it happens to reside in. It's about building Summit Church. It's about building this congregation. And so
And what's amazing about his little critiques are, they're critiques because he cares. I mean, he's passionate about it. And so I find, and so many people are sort of deconstructed or deconverted, or they're not going to church anymore or anything like that. But boy, are they haunted, because I don't believe it anymore, but I still care. And I'm still offended if they're doing it wrong. I'm not really offended, but somewhere in his heart still lives this desire for it to be true. And gosh, if I could only still believe it then. And you know, part of me basically said, Algo, you've been playing with us for a while. We're going to start to play with you. What if 200 or 300 or 400 of people in this little corner start watching this dude's videos? You don't have to stalk him. You don't have to threaten him. You don't have to confront him. You don't have to do anything. And don't leave a comment that says, I'm praying for you. Not that there's anything wrong for praying for him. I'm going to pray for him. But it's, humanity is just so subtle that this whole, you know, and you can, part of what drips in these videos of his church reviews is just the cult of authenticity. And again, you know, part of what we're doing in this corner is dealing with these spirits, the sincerity, authenticity, profelicity. And the dude is deep into profelicity. His videos are better made than mine. He edits. See, this is why I can't stop making videos, because I wasn't going to make a video this afternoon. I visited a dear old saint who's over 90 years old, and she missed Communion Sunday, and her daughter said, could you stop by and serve Mom Communion? I said, I would love nothing more than to come by and serve your Mom Communion and listen to her stories and listen to her complaints and talk to her and just pray for her and then just break the bread and drink the wine. And it was so funny, because in this video, his first church review, again,
kind of want to speak out of both.
He has this part where he's talking about these little plastic communion cups, which is hilarious, because I do have a couple of little communion sets, one that my father had and one actually that my father-in-law had. And so often if I go serve communion, I'll go get some grape juice or you know, if I'm really naughty, I'll get some wine, get some grape juice, and get a little bread, and put it in a little packet, and go and do the whole thing. And but it was we used some of these during COVID, and so it's like, I wonder if we got any of these around, because her daughter was like, well, when I can't go, and you know, when we live stream, it's, you know, I'm all out of the little cups and crackers. I don't like the crackers for communion anyway. I like a real piece of bread. With yeast. Oh, Grimkers is going to tear up this video. And so, you know, we got some of these little things, which we never used before. And, of course, I'd been to communion Baptist churches where these tiny little things come around. It's like, I like a big piece of bread, you know. And it's even more fun if you go to a church where you get that piece of bread and you get to dip it, put it in your mouth, and get some on your tie. You know, leave a little something that, besides the bulletin, you go home, you say, see, I went to communion. Look, I spilled wine on my tie. Anyway, oh, boy. See, if I don't make a video, this stuff just builds up, and I just got to let it out. And, you know, part of me wants to be a nice, polished Christian YouTuber and have the little box and just all of the people in that box, they'll watch the good Christian YouTuber and they'll just feel better about everything. And that's a wonderful thing. But these guys are more my speed. And boy, I'll tell you, Neil, I gotta have Neil on the channel, because so often I've been watching Neil on Chad's channel and he's just so full of bright insights and he holds them so well. And he has fun with it, but sometimes he'll say stuff and it's like, dang it, that's so true. And Alan was great in there. Alan had some great impressions. And Alan was talking about, you know, the little corner helping build relationships. And of course, Neil has talked about that. And then this part, I've listened to it about 5-6 times because I think Neil really nails it.
There's an underlying objective reality to beauty. I do not think beauty is purely in the eyes of the beholder. I think there's something, it's transjective. It's like connecting to beauty.
And of course, you know, I was talking to Nate and Nathan Jacobs. So we've got Nathan Orman, who's the exile, and Nathan Jacobs, who I keep trying to pull into the corner. And because I'd love for Nathan to interact with John Vervaeke. And, you know, I think that would be a cool interaction. But they're talking about realism again. But I think John Vervaeke has really added in terms of his language and the transjective, because there is something between us.
But anyway, so what I'm saying is that the conversations that are least interesting are going to be those that are within denominational borders. Mm. That's the point I want to make, is because it's already mapped territory. It's already explored territory. It's not inherently unique or novel in.
And that's the box. It's like, we've had these conversations, we've had these discussions, and granted, there are plenty of people out there that could use an upgrade in the quality of the arguments, and they're just dealing with something that actually it's been taken care of 100 times over. And to have Christian YouTube wade in with the box, that's totally cool. I get it.
Some respects, to the extent that those conversations are happening, I think it's fine and it's great, but it's not. Those conversations have happened since the beginning of that denomination. You know, they happen every day anyway. But when you're talking about what's happening in this space is a new, unique thing, that's that conversation between the branches of the trees, the birds sitting in the branches who are singing to each other. That's the analogy.
That is such a beautiful picture. Because, and some of you might not get it, but there are these images in the book of Daniel and that are in the Bible, because the tree and the birds are sort of, the birds are the nations. And you know, the nations, Gentiles, but they come in and they nest in the tree, and the tree is like the kingdom. And the birds are singing to each other from their different branches. The Catholics and the Orthodox and the Reformed and the Lutheran and the Pentecostals, and they're all singing to each other from their different branches. And And the tree is being filled with music. And when I watch of and there are other birds that are sort of on the ground, and they're singing up, and we're singing back and forth, and the birds are kind of, you know, they're kind of hovering. Do I light on this branch? Do I light on this branch? And that's my picture of the corner. And I wouldn't have had that if I didn't listen to Neil's vision here. And of course, Neil keeps talking about this secret joy, which he's a Catholic. He's in the Catholic box.
See, I like using, but that's new, and that hasn't happened before. And, you know, you talked about bringing the things from the corner into your local communities. Like, I'm smuggling in all sorts of stuff into my Bible studies. So I'm bringing it there because I think this stuff has increased my faith, and I want to, you know, the stale lines that everybody knows that have been used, let's say, in our faith for 30, 40, 50 years that are not getting the job done at reinvigorating someone's heart or passion. That's the stuff that I want to reinvigorate, that I want to bring the secret joy. I want to bring it. Like, I don't know what else to say to that. So I've been talking for a while.
I want to bring it too. I want to bring it too. I want to bring it too. And when I see a channel like this, and I see this guy, he still loves, he still cares. I mean, he identifies as an atheist, and he visits churches, and he makes YouTube videos about him, and he, you know, sort of like T-Grog, you know, these people who've left the faith, and they're looking back in it, and they're saying, "You're not doing it right." And part of me wants to say, all right, I'm a Calvinist. I confess, we don't do it right. Why don't you come in and help us do it better? And I identify as an atheist. Fine. Just hang out a little bit. Get into an estuary meeting where you can talk about this stuff, and you won't lose status for either making Christian noises or making non-Christian noises. And yesterday's live stream by Grizz, comment commentary, guy's a mimetic genius. We're all just prismers here. it's just so much fun. It's just, and you know, to me, that's the joy. I mean, I am having a genuinely good time. I'm having a genuinely good time with this. And my good time with this is the joy of one another. And so, of course, there's a Grim Grizz. So you got all the branding on front, on the top of things. And what's Grizz going to do? And he's got the Jordan Peterson in front of Senate. And he's got all of the branding.
Paul, I notice a growing TLC centricity about your sermons, and it genuinely provokes the question in me of who your audience actually is. As an observer, it seems you have been so immersed in this digital space that you are becoming increasingly disassociated from your local congregation. I'd be curious to know whether you survey and take surveys within your church to see if the community is properly benefiting from your...
My church is so small, I do not take a survey. They would laugh if I handed out a survey. I could just go and ask them, because they'll tell me what they think. And if you want to see how I've preached, just scroll back on my channel. I know it's a lot of scrolling. There's like 2,500 videos on this channel. But if you go back, you can find dozens and dozens of old sermons long before any of this stuff got started. And what I do now is what I've always done. I had a good friend who, when I started this, he's like, "Well, what are you doing?" And he watched one. He says, "You're just doing what you've always done. I'm always integrating my whole self and my whole life." And great quote about sermons, you know, it's poured through a pastor's personality. And that's true for me too. And part of the point is this church would be gone if I hadn't started playing with YouTube. 10 times more money has come to this church than has come to me through this channel, because good Christians out there, they, you know, I always have the link to Living Stones Giving down there, and boop, this church is still running today because of this YouTube channel, and the leadership knows it, and visitors come in, and we have a thriving estuary group. Well, more on that a little bit.
Sermons and how you could better improve to serve their needs. Unless talking about JBP, JP, or JV is really what they need for their spiritual close. Spiritual growth! Somehow, I doubt that. But what do I know? Oh, I...
Say, is there's nothing wrong with your truth. If to the truth...
Your trolling is too obvious to trigger Paul Immo. But it might be like this. He himself gets spiritual growth from talking about these matters and the comfort in finding others to share it with, which turn puts him in a more enthusiastic and wise place in which to carry out his local pastoral duties.
I've told this story plenty. I've been in this church 20... Holy cow, how long have I been in this church? 3, 4. Been in this church 27 years. Until the videos, I would go a very long time before having a substantive, meaningful conversation with someone who came here wanting something other than a place to rent or $20 for food or their electric bill paid. All worthy things. And then I start making videos about Jordan Peterson. And what do people want to talk about? God, the Bible. Meaningful things. You know, I look at this dude's YouTube channel. Lance the other day said in a meeting that wasn't online, you know, he said, I think Estuary is sort of like the new Seeker Church. And he's right, because here's the thing. This guy is going to Seeker Churches and he still loves it. He still cares. But, you know, I want to tell the dude, he might watch this video. Well, if you ever get to Sacramento, come to an Estuary meeting, because it'll be a little bit different than, yeah, we're gonna break that fourth wall. We really are.
It's a win-win which you can enjoy, MJ. So when I say his sermon genuinely provokes a question, I'm lying in your view? Do my posts really come across as trolls to you? Or is that affirmation just your way to cope? Whoopsh! If Paul needs to outsource his inspiration to make his sermons, then he doesn't belong in that church. Ooh, it's getting spicy, boys and girls. It's getting spicy. Bing, bing. And Muted Plum with the witty comeback. I think if he draws inspiration from outside, he still belongs in that church. Hey, memberships. Thank you, Ups. There we go. We both stated some opinions. High five. Is that bold? Is that a bold high five? Does that high five look bold to you? Is the Muted Plum a master of YouTube comments to the extent he can bold things? That's not what I meant. Blah, blah, blah. Pseudo-Boethius with the good old... You need to spend a lot more time with Peter Parker. Oh, that's powerful, powerful. and then it gets real spicy when the Ansel Man weighs in. Stay tuned. To make the... I rather agree with you in concern that Paul is unnecessarily introducing to his congregation men and ideas they would not normally be aware of or interested in. And the pastor's challenge...
Because the truth is, Jordan Peterson, John Vervaeke, and Jonathan Peugeot, no. Most of the people in my church have no interest in any of them, nor would they care to understand them. The people in the box do just fine with everything in the box. It's really just fine. But what about everybody else? And so much of the problem of church is that they can only talk to the people who are in the box. And when it comes to a guy like this, no, not that guy, this guy, when it comes to a guy like this, he's been in the box. And what he's got problems with is what's in the box. And he can't even really get out of the box even when he leaves it.
Challenges to know the minds of his congregation and tailor his spiritual messages to that. However, Paul is also trying to integrate his church adjacent estuary group into the congregation, so the expectation might be that those in the estuary group, whose minds presumably are influenced by those men and ideas he deals with, become members of the congregation. We don't know them well enough to judge Paul's choice of material for sermons. To which MJ responds, I remember making a comment, probably over a year ago now, that I predicted TLC and its ideology would supplant Paul's church. The thing is, Anselman, that his sermons were being tailored to TLC long before he replaced his Bible study with Estuary. The signs were there. It's quite
obvious. I loved Sunday school at least as much as anybody else here. But when the elders were saying, you know, we've got, what on earth are we going to have 5 years from now? And I said, I got another idea. You know, I've got a group of 30 to 50 people, more often than who are here on church on Sunday morning, who come in the evening for estuary conversations. What if they came in Sunday morning? One of those estuary guys was telling me, could we talk more about the Bible at estuary? Yeah, that'd be okay. You just got to bring it up as a topic. And I have loved Sunday morning estuary. It has been, in my opinion, one of the best things I've ever seen in churches, because we are having the kinds of conversations that I have always longed to have in church, but never could. When I have church men's groups, we're mostly doing Bible study. And again, I love doing Bible study. But for a whole bunch of people, how we usually do Bible study, which is really good for people in the box, is not how people outside of the box, it's not something they really want to connect with. Or don't connect with. And so they come to Estuary and they bring their thoughts and they share their stories and they ask their questions. And I just think this is what I've always wanted to see happening in the church.
Obvious where his heart is. I think Paul just wants the same type of audience at his church as he gets through the screen. And that's one that provides a constant stream of praise and validation.
MJ is obviously not reading very far in the comments, or maybe not even his own.
I think that's an unfair accusation that he is only pursuing a constant stream of praise and validation. Is your and others' engagement here with ideas and events just pursuit of praise and adulation? You are too prone to make character attacks on people with your presumptuous psychoanalysis. Why are you here? And then where's the part I want to talk about? Why am I here? I have the sense that TLC is one of the many staging grounds for an emergent cultural shift, and this is a way for me to engage in its spirit. It's a practice of discernment. You're wrong, MJ. Okay, and then, whoa, where is that reply? That's the one I was looking for, Anselman. How mysterious. This is the summary. I read it, though. I read the original, damn it, and I liked it. If not, I would summarize it as the observation that there are those in the corner who are piggybacking on Paul's project to push things that are not Christian. That's what's more concerning. Anthro-sophists, pantheists, Kabbalists, etc. Those who express disdain for biblical Christianity and want to reinvent it to be accommodated to theosophy and hermeticism. Hermeticism? That reminds me of a recent release from our good friend Jonathan Dumier.
Thing yet.
I am though, if you'd listen. I'm casting magic missile.
Why are you casting magic missile? There's nothing to attack here.
I'm attacking the darkness.
And here, comment there. Pencil fancy everlasting and around the is more concerning. And the reason I stopped by over our good friend quit. Good friend Demir's channel here was because that's a perfect example. Perfect example. Look at here. We got the conversation with Mo. No, wait, that's not it. We got the human body, eurythmy.
Or your eyes.
You're just giving back what's been given to you. The veneer of non-judgmentality is alluring, to be sure. That is, until you begin to see through it. And then you're not only judged, but strongly opposed. Boy, do I miss Joey. If it wasn't for Sam...
That is so funny to me. He misses Joey. I love Joey. Joey's in my group. Joey's here. I know Joey. I'm good friends with Joey. And I think, do you really want to hear from Joey?
I might honestly have nothing to do with this digital space, but I'm glad I'm here. Although I don't see things as most here do, I'm happy to learn about other people's perspectives and share my own. However, I'm aware that this isn't real life. And I don't use it as a substitute for our relationships. That's the part I had to speak on. This is real life. You're staring into your device, being an intentional node or communion of digitally. This is what you're really doing in your real life. These are actual human beings on the other side. There is no fourth wall. You've been under a spell. There is no audience. You're not in the privacy of your home in your secret place. All by yourself. You're with the others in the attention. You're being watched there. You're effectively pacified. Pacified, except to the extent that you can gain what improves you, I've been sent on 3 trips by this in my real life. I've been to California and Wisconsin and now Florida. This is very much my real life, MJ. I don't know how to end this. That your insurance will pay for.
Are going down is the sacrament. I don't know, dude. It just kind of kills me inside. Granted, they're Protestants. They don't believe in transubstantiation. They don't think this is literal, you know, oxidized blood. It's just a symbol, right? It's a symbol of the body and bread. And the symbol isn't the real thing, so it doesn't matter if you play hacky sack with it or do whatever. It doesn't matter. But still, something about it just makes me feel kind of icky. If you believe that it's an ordinance commanded by Christ to sit and remember his crucifixion, you would think that there's like, I don't know, some more oomph behind it. Now, I kind of want to speak out of both sides of my mouth because on the one hand, I wish there was more of a ceremony behind it. I wish it was real bread and real wine or grape juice, it doesn't matter. But conversely, I don't want it to be so focused on the pomp and show of it that it takes away from the contemplation of the crucifixion and the contemplation of Christ's sacrifice. And to give this church its credit, there was a, you know, pretty substantial time to think about Christ's crucifixion. But I don't know, man. It just feels kind of like this is like not the place you want to skimp out on. One of the things that kind of grieves me is like, it just feels like all of these churches are working off such a pre-written script, that there's not a whole lot of flexibility or room for innovation. So one thing that I saw that they had was...
Which is a really amazing thing, because the Jesus movement and sort of contemporary, spontaneous American liturgy was all about authenticity. Authenticity, which was basically connected with, thought to be connected with spontaneity. Now, his church background is Pentecostal, and he talks about that earlier in the video, or at least in a different, it was in the other video where he talked about Summit Church, where Molly Worthen has become a Christian. But again, in real life, and this is why both this video of Alan and Neil and the Friday morning fragments, just really digging into, okay, what's actually happening here? What's actually happening here? Maybe I'll have to make a clip of, in my conversation with Nathan, there was a great moment where Nathan is talking about the early days of Pixar, and he talked about how it was often the animators that were the better directors, because to be a director, to be an animator, you had to look very carefully. And so the Disney artists would have mirrors, because when I did something, and this goes directly back to Jordan Peterson's first biblical series in the Genesis series, where he talks about, first we act things out, then we watch each other act things out, and then eventually liturgy develops because, and just look at Peter Peugeot's liturgy video, where liturgy is just basically the compression of movement for a variety of things, as a psychotechnology, now is a Verveke word. I mean, it's just sort of all coming together. And Grizz is right that, it's so funny because, again, as I said, if I didn't make sort of mindlessly, perhaps providentially, sort of make a video about Jordan Peterson 7 years ago, I don't know where I'd be. You know, the church wouldn't be here. And so would I be working in a church in the Bay Area? Because my wife has a job here, and you know, we rely on her medical insurance from her job because it's a lot better than the church ever provided. And her pension is a lot better than the church ever provided. And the money now is she makes a lot more money than I do. Even if the church wasn't going to fold, I care about these guys. Ministry is not about the box. Man was not made for, Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. And when I watch a video like this and I look at this guy thinking through this and thinking through everything that, you know, having left the church but can't leave it. And if talking about Jordan... It was so funny because when I first found Jordan Peterson, I had difficulty getting other ministers to talk to. John Van Donk wanted to talk, and a few other ministers wanted to talk. Lan Van de Zee wanted to talk, and some other on Voices, and then I start talking to people about a year or two later, and I ask, do you know who Jordan Peterson is? Well, yeah, you can't do youth ministry and not know who Jordan Peterson is. And Jonathan Peugeot and the Peterson Peugeot pipeline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, this is somehow disconnected from church. Oh, maybe, but then you sure should get off YouTube, but you never should have found me. Because the box is fine. Stay in your box. All over America, these boxes are shrinking and they're going away. And yeah, the Orthodox are having they're having a revival in America. Praise God for them. But to me, I love the box. I'm Christian Reformed. I hope to be Christian Reformed till the day I die. I love my Christian Reformed box. But Boxes are made for people. People aren't made for boxes. And so why is this guy got all of, you know, 1,300 subs and having videos where he's got his music and he didn't like the Mormon church and talking about a black church, another music video, talking about, you know, why on earth spend all of your time on this kind of stuff? Maybe he's got a bigger following on Spotify. I don't know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever trusts in him can have eternal life. This is the gospel. This is why I do this. This is what I care about. It's all about the people. It is all about the people. It always is. And yeah, so this has probably gone on long enough. My wife is just pulling into the driveway now, so I guess you'll have to wait a little bit longer for the Aaron Wren conversation if you're not in the No Wait, No Ads, because I'm posting this tomorrow. Go ahead. Leave a comment full of praise and adulation. I'll be waiting for it.